2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I just want to get one place here, and I want you to see something, and I'm sure this is a mission. I saw the missionaries on the walls, and you know, the greatest thing a church will ever do is what you're doing. I've already seen it, those buses and those missionaries. That's church. And then I heard I was talking about soul winning earlier, and a man said, well, we go about 20 miles this way and that way. And that's one thing I'm thankful about being in Philly. I walk 5 feet to each door. They're all connected, amen. And you guys got to, like in Arkansas, drive and jump out, walk quarter of a mile and different things like that. I don't miss that a bit. We can hit about 100 doors in a half hour very quickly. But I will say this, that, you know, it's obvious that God's hand's on the church here from just looking at Sunday school attendance and have folks' face. I thank the Lord for that. And we want God to stay in it. And I've complimented you, but I'm sure that we all are, well, I know this, we all still live in the flesh. And we all have to disappear every day. And if we don't, we will not live for the Lord. And so I want to want you to look at it with me in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We know that Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. It's his second letter. And he's right now he's transitioning. In chapter number 7, you know, we looked at, we see that, my mind's slipping me here. He's talking about repentance and getting right, and the whole church got right in Corinth when Titus went and delivered the letter, and they repented, and God moved and changed their lives. And it's interesting that Paul moves right into chapter number 8 with talking about missions, talking about reaching the world. And a church that, when I was in Bible college, I learned that the definition of a church is a born-again, baptized believers that have come together to fulfill the Great Commission. Called out assembly of born-again, baptized believers. A church has never been just a potluck. A church is not a place to meet and congregate. The church is the people. Although we do potluck, and I became a Baptist because they ate the most, amen. But we do these things, and we do fellowship, and that's what God would have us to do. But our main goal is to reach the world. To reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. And Paul was very, very well known for reaching the world. And Paul was wanting the Corinthian church to understand that they had made some decisions. And we know that they made these decisions in chapter 16 of the first book of Corinthians. He says to make sure you give it week by week, and you don't have any gatherings when I come, and make sure that everybody does it. And it is very, very clear about missions. And so in chapter number 8, he's going to tell them, you guys didn't do what you said you were going to do. And he begins to show about the Macedonian churches. And listen to me, I know that looking at the folks in this room today, that you've made some decisions for the Lord. I mean, we've made some humdingers at the altars. And we've made some decisions at home with our families. We've made some decisions as teenagers and to do something for God. But if we're not careful, we'll go back on those decisions. And we'll find ourselves at the altar over and over again with the same decision, saying, God, help me this time. And God has helped us, and God has given us the ability to live a godly life. We learned that in 1 Peter, where he's given us all things that we need according to godliness to be able to live a life for God. And so we come to the altar, we make decisions, and the Corinthian church was guilty of making a decision that they wasn't keeping their word on. And he reminds them of the Macedonian churches, about the grace that was bestowed upon them, that grace giving, that the grace, you know what grace is, and we often hear it defined as the unmerited favor of God, and I believe that 100%. But if we look it up a little bit, it means the divine reflection upon the heart that reflects in your everyday life. That's what grace is in the New Testament. The divine reflection upon the heart that reflects in your everyday life. When we live in grace and we live by grace, it reflects and we want it to. And I get down every single day for the most part and say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it again. This morning I'm over there weeping, Lord, I'm sorry. But I'm so glad when the grace of God comes upon me and says, Burton, I knew who you were. I know what I bought and I know what I got, but let's just get on with it. It's okay, let's get over it. When my kids are truly sorry, I don't want them to sit and pant over it and continue to beg me to forgive them when I am. No, we're done with it. It's okay. Let's go on. And so the grace of God is abundant. Churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Listen, I'm not liberal in my standards. I'm not liberal in my politics, but I want to be liberal in my love and giving for the Lord. And he says they were in deep poverty. And I've already said our church, no big wigs in our church. And there's probably no big wigs in this church, just a bunch of folks doing it together. And so he said in their deep poverty, it abounded to the riches of their liberality they gave. And verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. And the next five words of what I really wanted to preach on today or just teach on for just a few minutes. They were willing of themselves. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 16:24, and I'm not going to quote it correctly, but if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a denial of ourselves. But if we'll empty, I believe 100%, if we'll just get rid of us and let God have total control, not just part control. Man, we know Christians all the time that, man, they're great Christians in certain areas and terrible Christians in others. But God wants the whole building. And the Bible says the key to the Macedonian church is that they were willing of themselves. And I'm afraid the reason we go back on a lot of our promises to God is because we become unwilling of ourselves. And I'm not here to beat you up today. I don't know any other way. I am a terrible glory preacher. I've been told, man, brother, you ever preach on the glory of God? And I go, well, I just preach whatever God leads me to preach. And I get excited about the Lord. I mean, when others preach on the glory of God, I stand in the pew and shout and run around. But really, you know, I'm in this battle with myself just trying to get rid of me constantly. And today when I was praying, I was just felt very concerned. And been, you know, yesterday I got on the airplane, and I do pretty good on airplanes. And I always stand up at the end of the airplane, and when they let us out of the seatbelt, and I say, I just want to tell everybody on the plane that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. They always get scared when I start talking. They think I'm going to blow the place up. But I say, I just love the Lord Jesus. He's been so good to me. I talk for about 2 minutes, and some of them like it, some of them don't. And had a great discussion on the first one into Detroit. Guy talking to me, it was awesome. Well, the second one, I got on there, and I'm on the phone with my assistant with some ear deals, and I'm talking loud, but I didn't realize it. And I'm sitting there, and the guy behind me turns, or in front of me, turns around, taps my leg, and goes, and man, I'm telling you what, I thought, because the old man heard him say that, I thought, I said, anyway, JR, what I need you to do, and he turned around, and I thought, and I didn't say nothing to him, but my attitude stunk with him. And it's time for me to get up now and tell everybody about Jesus. You know, the first time in 3 years, I didn't say one thing, because I said, you know what, I don't want to hurt the Lord here. But I went to that man right there. I said, sir, I want to tell you something. I'm very sorry for the way I acted towards you. He goes, yeah, I know. You just got a loud voice. You just want to be careful. And I said, I want you to know I'm a nobody, and I'm sorry, and I was offended. My pride got me, and I should never have been like that. You know what he said? Man, I feel like I'm back in Indiana. So he said, I guess, you know, he'd been somewhere else where people aren't like you folks in Indiana and nice, maybe. Philadelphia, Indiana, two different beasts, but you know, here's the thing. If we won't empty ourselves, we'll never be willing to do anything. Anybody in this room today that's not willing to do something for the Lord, and be honest with yourself now. Saying it and doing it's two different things. Well, we can all, man, I love Jesus. But what do you do for Jesus? And if you're not willing, it's because you have a problem that you're stuck on yourself. And look what it says. It was to their power, and I bear record, yea, beyond their power. It was the Lord that made them willing. It wasn't us. It wasn't a self-help book. It wasn't anything that we can do. It was, you know what, Lord, I don't want to be me. And I know we're poor Macedonians, but you know what, God, I believe you could do it. And I want you to do it. He says, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry and the saints. They begged Paul to take the money. I tell people all the time as a missionary, I said, folks, I'm just telling you what we're doing if you want to help, but really you should be begging me at the end of the service to take your money. And I laugh, and they laugh, and then I think, but it's true. But they wanted to take on the minister into the together. And that's what you do with your missionaries. But here's what it says. And this they did not as we hoped. He didn't even understand how they did it. He didn't think they could do it like he thought. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. And today I just want to tell you, great churches always need to give themselves back to the Lord on a constant basis. I go into a lot of churches and there's not a lot of activity in the altar, and every state's different. Man, I'm telling you, I went to Buffalo, New York, preach one time. I preached my heart out, and God looked like folks were moving and God was in it, and gave the altar call, and then one person come to the altar. And I said, now y'all just raised your hand, but not one person's going to come down here. What's that all about? And I realized later on that it's just different in different places. It doesn't mean that they didn't get nothing from God, because they were a good church. Now, the next time I said it, they came. And so that was good. But, hey, they were willing of themselves, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then I think it says, and unto us by the will of God. See, the will of God is for us to give ourselves to Him. And so, you know, that's what we need a revival of these days. We need a revival of, you know, of not going to a door and saying, hey, you want a better life? Jesus will give you one. Give up the old one. He'll give you a new one. That's not the gospel. That isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to tell people the truth. Hey, listen, if you want the Lord, you're going to have to turn away from who you are and what you want. I was 31 years old and I wanted to at that point. I didn't want to at 20. Because I was out on sin, and I never heard the gospel. I'd never been to church. And for those folks, we just got to get them in here under the Holy Spirit's movement. And a person can come in hard-hearted, and God can break them down in a service. But at door-to-door, if they're not ready, and you tell them the truth, and they're upset about it, and you give them gospel, and you give them Bible, hey, we got to stop easing that, making God look like he's just a stepping mad into a greater life. But if we're going to do that, we have to be willing of ourselves. And if they're going to accept that life, they have to be willing of themselves. And so what an opportunity as a church that we have to reach the world. I can do it from Philadelphia, and you can do it from Indiana, and we can do it out in the farm agricultural areas, and we can do it where they're just packed in. But the thing is, what I know about this place and about me and you, it's the same message. And methods, I'm not here to dumb down methods. I think we ought to use, we have a new app for our church that has every bus rider on it. And when they visit it, they hit a button. Who visited? They have a thing that says who they met with, are they coming, and what did they say? And just stuff like that. You say, ooh, that's crazy, an app. Well, that's what we're doing. But the message is the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn to Him. And so, you know, you got that screen. You know, that's a little bit wild. About 15 years ago, they were mad at people for doing that kind of stuff. Or 20 years ago, maybe. They were like, what in the world, a screen? But it's true. But that King James Bible, the Holy Spirit, death, burial, and resurrection, turn to the Lord or you don't get him. You can't have God without repentance. Hey, and the number one thing that he says there is that church had to be willing of themselves. Young people, you got to be willing to turn to the Lord if you're going to get him in your life. Mom and daddy, grandma, grandpa, you got to be, and that's an everyday thing, 70, 80, it doesn't matter how old you get. If you don't get on your knees and get rid of you, you can't have what God intended for you to have that day. You do get mercy. Thank God for mercy. Most of us live off of mercy. We all live off mercy, but what I'm saying, but man, what a great passage of scripture. Willing of themselves. I don't know what the Lord had me to do that, but when I got down and prayed, he changed everything, and I said, I'll do whatever you want, Lord. And really wasn't a lot there, but it's good stuff. And so let's pray, and we'll get ready for church. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for meeting with us, and thank you for here with this great church and great bunch of folks that want to serve you. Lord, I know we all let you down, and I'm probably the best at letting you down in this room, but Lord, I'm thankful that you picked me back up. I'm thankful that you don't that you expect me to mess up, but you desire for me not to. Thankful for your wonderful hand of grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to live for you and for our lives to be changed and different every time we open up a book of the Bible, every time we get on our knees, every time we come to church, we just grow closer and closer and lesser of ourselves. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.